I'm Neil Wilkins, and welcome to the Mindful Living Show.
So hello and welcome to this webinar, Cambridge Marketing College webinar series. My name's Neil Wilkins, and if you've been on these sessions before, you'll know that I'm the host of a range of very, very interesting topics that we've been covering as we've gone through this series. And this is number 6 in the set, and we've got a lot more coming as we go through the rest of this year. Thoroughly enjoying these. Hopefully, if you've been to quite a few of these, and I know quite a number of you have, that you're enjoying them and getting a lot of value from them. We're going to do today's session in the usual format, so a presentation of the concept and the topic of the day, and then we'll kind of open up the chat facility for those of you watching this live. We'll open up the chat facility for any questions if you have anything that you'd like to inquire about, or any observations or any experience that you have, because there are so many different ways that we can sort of explore these various topics that we're covering here. So if you have any experience that you want to share, use the chat facility, both through the presentation, but obviously at the end as well. So this particular topic that we are talking about here today is thought leadership. That's a big, glamorous title for this particular topic. And I'm going to, as I normally do, define this. We're going to explore, do a deep dive into this subject, what it means, and hopefully some of the value that you might get from this if you choose to take this forward for yourself, because there is a personal angle to this whole topic of thought leadership, as well as for your organization and your business, if you are working for somebody else. So this series has focused on a whole range of different personal and professional development topics. We've looked at things like communication, presentation, and more recently we've looked at the concept of persuasion and evolved that into negotiation skills. So we're kind of building a set here of kind of critical things that you need in your portfolio or in your armory of being a successful business person, either from an entrepreneurial perspective, because maybe you've got a startup and you're looking to do some sort of side hustle and create a business around that, through to people who are working in large organizations as part of a team and a group of people. All of these skills, both personally and professionally, go into creating hopefully a more enjoyable but certainly more effective day-to-day experience within business and within organizations. And thought leadership as a topic here on webinar number 6 is no exception. So this is again trying to sort of extend some of those earlier building blocks, if you like, in your portfolio. If you're new to this webinar series, and I know a number of you are new to this, you haven't been to any of these before, I would suggest you go back and look at the and listen to the previous episodes that we've had in this series, and I'll give you the contact details for being able to do that at the end of this particular session. Upcoming sessions, again building on this thought leadership one that we're going to cover here today, on the 20th of August we are covering professional networking. So that is taking yourself out, either on behalf of yourself and your own personal brand or on behalf of the organization that you work with or for, into the big wide world. And we're going to be doing professional networking both in person now, because we've been released from all of the various kind of lockdowns and isolations and restrictions, so out into the big wide world, as well as doing professional networking in an online sense as well, because a lot of the communities and forums and networking groups are still operating in a digital sense as well. So we're going to look at blended professional networking. So if you are all about growing a portfolio and a profile, either online and or in sort of a face-to-face sense, if you're in a business development role, then this professional networking, we're going to look at a lot of best practice and the ways that the most successful networkers actually do their thing. So lots of hopefully very, very useful tips and experience for you there. And then on the 3rd of September, as we move into the start of autumn, can we believe that we're actually going to be there sort of in just literally a few weeks' time? We're going to be looking at professionalism in marketing. So all of the things to kind of bring a lot of these elements together, all of the things that you can do to kind of really raise the bar in terms of your effectiveness as a communicator, as a marketer, as a business professional. So we're looking at, again, some of those key little building blocks that will make you even more professional than you are here, right here today. But the topic we're going to focus on right here, right now is thought leadership. The clue is obviously in the terms. It's all about leading on a particular topic or a particular theme. So as I always do with this, we're going to start with a bit of a definition. So what is thought leadership? I mean, it is a term that's been banded around over the recent years quite a lot. And it is something, I'll be honest with you, that is really, to me, quite fascinating, because this can be a real differentiator. And I'm kind of seeing it. I'll share a little bit of my own personal experience as we go through this, because even at my little micro level, and I'll always say it is, you know, in the whole scheme of things, it is at a micro level, but I'm seeing some really significant gains by using and really embracing this term thought leadership for myself. So I can kind of speak from experience that I know this stuff kind of works, but the trick is figuring out what it means to you. So I'm not here to preach that you have to kind of copy what I do, but I'm here to share with you some of the tips and techniques that thought leaders who are very, very successful in this area are doing, and the way that they approach it, and some of the things that you can do to start taking those first steps to kind of either introduce it to your business or do it for yourself. So what is it? Well, I've got a definition here from Forbes, and Forbes have said that a thought leader is an individual or firm that prospects, clients, referral sources, intermediaries, and even competitors recognize as one of the foremost authorities in selected areas of specialization. And that in itself results in being the go-to individual organization for the said expertise. Right, let's just unpick that for a little bit. Okay, so said expertise. So in other words, actually a theme, a topic, or a subject in which you can position yourself as the specialist. Okay, so do you notice here that the word expert doesn't apply? Okay, so that's to me a clear indication that you don't have to feel on the back foot because you're not necessarily an expert in a topic. Specialist versus expert is a very different thing. So being a specialist in something means that you've chosen to focus on it because the prospects, clients, referral sources, intermediaries, and even competitors, in other words, all the stakeholders around you and your business, recognize you as a specialist. In other words, they recognize that you focus on this topic or this area. Now, that could be a theme. It could be something that's really important. It could be technical. It could be something that's kind of a real need within the marketplace in which you operate, or it could be something very, very different. It could be a different way of approaching business, and we'll explore all the different types of options that you have available to you a little bit later. But thought leadership is this idea of being a specialist. So not an expert, but a specialist that you are identified as by stakeholders around you. Okay, so there's a starting point that gets us kind of into a good sort of sense of understanding what this is. Now, Forbes go on to say that this isn't about putting your personal needs first. All right, so this is kind of pure customer focused marketing communications. So what they say is that thought leadership is the purpose of educating an audience, questioning the status quo, and becoming a trusted source for information. Of course, on that specialist subject or that specialist topic. And this valuable marketing ammo will fortify your business goals. So what they're meaning here is that if you can choose a specialist topic, specialist theme, and then educate those stakeholders, question the status quo. In other words, don't just look at it and say, hey, I'm just going to curate on this topic and just share everything that everybody's ever said. I'm actually going to question some of this stuff. And actually, I'm going to be, because I'm using myself almost as a filter for what's good or bad, weak or strong, I'm actually coming at this from a, okay, I'm a specialist, not an expert, I'm a specialist, and I'm going to actually create some information that's going to provide high value education, information, and intelligence for these stakeholders. And that's the starting point. So it's kind of viewing it from a very pure sense, very authentic sense of saying, right, it's actually about the stakeholders. So my thought leadership, I'm choosing a topic and a subject to be a specialist in that provides huge value for my audience. And then as a byproduct of that, it's going to fortify my business goals, my brand position, the success I have, probably the new business inquiries that I have, but certainly the engagement and the reach of my marketing communications. Okay, so that's kind of me reading between the lines here of what Forbes were getting at. So the things that we've talked about so far, so we've got a specialism. So we need to choose a topic or a theme. We need to put customer or audience or stakeholder first. And we need to think of ourselves as being a voice of authority, not necessarily based around expertise, but based around questioning, challenging, and filtering information that might already exist. So we don't necessarily have to be starting to create information, but maybe adding value on top of information that already exists. This is thought leadership, okay? So for some of you already, this might be challenging what you thought it was. If it was all about you having to create from scratch basic information and then build it up and try and spend all your time, you know, creating content, it might not have to be that. You could be a curator, so much as a museum curator picks a topic and then goes around the world, you know, gathering artifacts and information and assets and materials around that topic to present a lovely display in the museum. That's kind of the role of the thought leader, adding value on top of stuff, a lot of stuff that already exists in that specialism. So for me, I've got another three things I'd like to add on top of the Forbes definition there. I'd say it's about being and doing at the forefront of the evolution of a topic. Okay, so being and doing. So it's not just about saying, it's about actually being there. It's about really embracing this thought leadership topic. So this specialism is about really kind of, you know, having it at the heart of everything that you're thinking about and everything that you're doing, so that you create some energy behind this that keeps you at the forefront of how that topic evolves. And for me, that's a key word as well, evolution. When I'm thinking about my topic that I focus on, it is about evolving it. It's about every time I publish something, every time I read something, every time I challenge something that somebody else might have produced, I'm constantly thinking, can I evolve this just a little incremental bit? Now, I'm hoping, obviously, as we all do, for that amazing brainwave that just triggers off some brand new innovative thinking. Now, it may never happen. You know, I sit there hopefully at the start of every day that it will. It probably hasn't yet, but it might in the future. But that's a byproduct of this thought leadership thing, because if I'm constantly helping this topic to evolve by my input, by me being a specialist in this, by me critiquing and challenging this topic all the time, every day, then I'm helping it to evolve. So I am, just by definition, at the forefront of how that topic develops. For me as well, it's also about influencing a narrative by understanding what needs to be done. Now, for me, this is a really, really critical thing. To me, thought leadership isn't about staring sort of inwardly. This is about outward facing stuff. This is about actually helping the narrative to evolve such that people get an understanding of what can I do next. So if I hear this topic, if I hear this theme, what can I do next as a result of that? Could I create some actions? Could I be a little bit more innovative? Could I actually become really interested in this topic? So for me, it's about outcomes and outputs. It's about what needs to be done to move this game forward, because otherwise it could, for some of us, get quite frustrating if people feel like they're in this constant loop of discussion and debate, but nothing ever really comes of it. To me, that's not thought leadership. The word here, leadership, actually leading the narrative into actionable outcomes and actionable objectives, and hopefully helping people to change their strategies. That to me is a real value of thought leadership in terms of, you know, kind of what's in it for the audience. And if we're putting the audience at the heart of this, that is obviously really important. And the third thing that I focus on when I think about thought leadership is aligning the brand with the perception of my existence. Aligning my brand with the perception of my existence. Because honestly, if you look at your own organization, or if you're doing this from a personal branding perspective, it actually, at the end of the day, is not about what you think. It's actually what people think about you. This is, again, pure marketing. It's how you are perceived and how your brand is perceived by the outside world, those target stakeholders that you're attending to and looking at their needs and trying to serve with service, with branding, with communication. It's how they perceive what you do, not what you do. So thought leadership helps you to hopefully control or at least choreograph that perception of what your brand is and what you stand for. So it's a great credibility builder. It's a great foundation if you can get it right. Okay, so now I'm going to release to you what my mantra is in terms of thought leadership. And I've got two. One, if you know me and you've heard this before, you'll know what these things are. But one of mine is mindful living and the other one is mindful marketing. So the one I'm going to talk about here today is going to be the mindful marketing one. And what do I mean by that? I mean the evolution of the marketing mix into this new world that we're all evolving into. So I'm challenging the old marketing mix. Okay, so I'm thought leading. I'm not the only one, but I'm using the challenges I have around the marketing mix to reinvent the marketing mix for this new kind of paradigm in which we're working and in which business exists. So that in itself aligns me as an individual and my marketing consultancy with this new kind of conversation that's going on. So that's what I'm doing and that's why I'm doing it. And for you, it will probably be something completely and utterly different, and that's fine. So I'm not here to say you've got to do it like I do it. I'm here to say these are the building blocks that hopefully help you begin to explore what you might be adding in as a specialism, and we can call it thought leadership, within your brand position, if you choose to. Now, what is the value then of doing this? Because we've got to obviously always be selling this probably further upstream to our line managers, our shareholders, or to ourselves in terms of, you know, the way we're going to spend our time. Now, to me, there's a whole host of different values of being a thought leader. As I've said, it does increase your authority and credibility. People kind of look at you slightly differently if you're a specialist in a particular topic. I mean, ideally, you are the go-to for that topic, but you might be in a very busy, noisy marketplace around that topic, so it might not be that you're quite there yet. But it does put you in the game, and that's the key thing. It puts you in the game because you can be perceived as more credible if you're constantly and consistently a specialist or thought leader in this theme or topic. It gives you influence over the evolution of that topic. You know, you become the person that, you know, the media or the press or influencers come to for, you know, a little soundbite, a quote, maybe an article, maybe to appear on a podcast, for example, if you've been doing this for long enough. And of course, then it gives you that connection with other people who are influencers in that topic. So you become part of this kind of really useful and really valuable community. That could be a huge value, to be seen as part of the conversation on a particular topic, be it digital marketing, be it growing houseplants, be it creating highly efficient boats, whatever it happens to be. Some random ideas coming out of my head there. It really doesn't matter. The whole essence here is kind of what's in it for you. What can you add a specialism to in the mix of what you do? And it might already exist, but if it doesn't, what could you do? And of course, then you're influencing the topic of stakeholders, you know, kind of the things that they think about and the things that they then value in what you bring. So it does become part of the overall communication mix, your communication strategy going forward. And there, by default, enhances your long-term brand position. And so the way I define it, and certainly the way that Forbes define it, is that this is long-term value. This isn't something you do as a quick little campaign. This is something you can really, really position at the heart of everything that you do and everything that you offer. So from all the things that we've covered so far in this webinar series, this could be one of the great outputs of the stuff that you're developing, both personally and professionally. Being seen as a valuable thought leader brings both value to the audience, but also significant potential value to you as well. So where do you start? If you don't know right here, right now, what your topic or your specialism would be, where can you start? Well, if you've come to a couple of the other earlier webinars that I've run in this particular series, you'll know that my big, big passion right here, right now is the Japanese concept of Ikigai. If you want to learn a lot more than we've got time for in this particular session, head over to Google and just search Neil Wilkins Ikigai, and you'll see that I've got a course online, that's a digital course online that will take you step by step through this process. But here in this webinar, just want to focus on how you can use Ikigai, which is that sweet spot in the heart of the potential opportunity for thought leadership here. So we can translate Ikigai as this sweet spot of being that thing that you love. Okay, so think about things. What do I love? Because it would be nice if you were choosing a specialism or a thought leadership topic around something that you really love, something that you feel quite passionately about, that's going to make you feel energized whenever you start to create content or go and do some research. So what do you love? So think from that starting point. Also, what am I good at? Ikigai loves to balance this kind of what I love and what I'm good at. And it's really important then, because, you know, even though we're not using the word expert, it's going to make your life a lot easier if you're actually quite good at what you do. So for me, when I talk about this whole subject of mindful marketing, it kind of plays into my whole kind of sweet spot of, you know, I do feel passionately having been in this industry for so long. And I'm actually relatively quite good at this kind of marketing planning and strategizing and kind of doing this new marketing mix thing. So it kind of is what I'm good at, but I also love doing it. The next bit is, what can I be rewarded for? So is there a spin-off benefit that will give you reward? And it could be financial reward, but it could also be the reward of personal credibility or personal affirmation. It could be that you can be rewarded by being invited onto a podcast, for example, or even maybe, you know, speaking at a TEDx or a TED conference. Maybe that could be your big reward for becoming a thought leader. So it's what you love, it's what you're good at, what you could be rewarded for financially or otherwise, because we all have very different definitions of success. So how would you define a great outcome? Could you be rewarded in some way, in a way that would be meaningful for you? And the final sort of segment, if you like, of the Ikigai model is, and does the world need it? So for me, with this whole mindful marketing, I would categorically say, yes, it does, because we have got a whole new paradigm here. This whole sustainability thing, the purpose-driven business, you know, the whole kind of, you know, diversity and inclusion sort of thing that needs to come into our marketing mix. All of that stuff, you know, plays beautifully into this sweet spot at the center for me. So that's why I put mindful marketing as my Ikigai professionally right at the heart. It is what I love. I'm quite good at, you know, planning and sharing this information. I can be rewarded for it because I can do courses and tutorials and support clients. And the world needs it right here, right now, because there's so much chaos and confusion. So the Ikigai model can work beautifully here in a very simple, simplistic way to help you to choose your thought leadership topic. So what do you love? What are you good at? Can you be rewarded for it? And does the world need it? And if you can say yes to something that fits all of those four categories, then maybe, just maybe, when you do your research, when you start to create content, when you start to read what other people are talking about on that topic or that theme or that subject, maybe that is your sweet spot. And maybe that is not only your Ikigai, but it is actually your thought leadership topic too. And so maybe now you've got to the point of, I know what my topic is, I know what my subject is, kind of I'm a specialist, not an expert in it, because I don't want to kind of pitch it too high at this early stage. Maybe I will become an expert in the future, but I kind of just want to be a specialist at this point. So my focus is now laser sharp. Okay, so I am now thought leading in this area. So I'm going to be writing some stuff, I'm going to be reading some stuff, I'm going to be critiquing some stuff. So now I've got some stuff to share. I've got some real information that's pretty solid and pretty rounded. So where am I going to put this? How am I going to share this? Well, obviously, thought leadership is something that is a very social thing. So you might want to be putting it out through your social media. You might want to be putting it out through a blog or a vlog. You might want to put it out through your podcast. All of these are kind of marketing channels. But for me, the key thing to start with is figuring out which of the three, and it could be all three, but I would suggest when you're starting out, that you put your thought leadership in one of the three stages of the customer journey. So the first stage is thought leadership in the awareness stage. So this is where you're using your thought leadership to create more reach, to create more engagement with potential leads, potential prospects, or potential people who aren't yet actual customers, and you can define what you mean by customer. So they're not actually fully committed to you yet or your business, but they're using the information you're sharing as a thought leader specialist to form an opinion that you are the right person to add value in their world. And then they might buy a product or service from you slightly later in their journey with you. But it's about thinking of you using thought leadership to increase the reach, to increase that engagement before they commit to you. So of course, you know, with things like LinkedIn, for example, with things like Twitter, and maybe even using, you know, your podcast at the awareness stage. This is all about the numbers game. This is about getting people into your customer journey, that sales funnel. So using thought leadership at the early stage in the journey to really build that momentum and get a lot of people aware of you. Now, you can use it there, but you don't have to. The second stage of the journey is the conversion stage. So this is about using thought leadership to get people over that finish line to commit to you, either to buy your product or your service, or to sign on the contract, or to put their credit card details in and press buy, whatever it happens to be in your kind of world, using thought leadership to just give them that confidence that you are a trusted, authentic person to buy from. That you are the person better than the competition that is the person to engage with. So this is the conversion stage. Their commitment to you can be used, thought leadership can be used at this stage to really kind of just seal the deal, to get them over that line. So is that relevant to you? To me, it's not. To me, it's all about creating that awareness stage. So I put my mindful marketing at the awareness stage right here, right now. It does come at the retention stage because I am talking to people either with courses or with clients, existing clients around this whole kind of new marketing mix. It's mindful marketing mix. But for me, the predominant focus is at the awareness stage. But for you, it could be at the conversion stage. Those final moments just before somebody commits in their customer journey with you. And for some of you as well, it could be at the third stage of the customer journey. This is the retention stage. This is where they're already existing customers and you're using your thought leadership to build on that relationship that you already have. So this is existing connections, existing followers, existing customers. And maybe, as the slide shows here, maybe this is the kind of the VIP thing. This is where you're using your thought leadership and specialism to give them some real VIP treatment. So you're only sharing your thought leadership in a community or forum, or maybe as part of some kind of sort of loyalty program with existing customers. This would be your retention stage. And of course, the goal at the retention stage is to get repeat business or upselling or cross-selling or, you know, additional business from your existing customers. And or advocacy, because the advocacy of people who are existing customers are willing to share what you do, and you could put thought leadership and specialism in that mix now, if they're willing to share it, they become advocates of yours. And of course, then they are doing marketing on your behalf. So there's a really great value there for you, but it's also a great value for them because of the excellent experience you're giving them builds that relationship over time. So do you see what I mean about this thing about being a long-term game? It's not something you just think, hey, I'm a thought leader, boom, put some content out there, job is done. This is all about thinking about putting it in strategically into your customer engagement or stakeholder engagement or customer journey strategically. Because if you do that, then this laser sharp focus on the topic becomes laser sharp focus on the point in the journey. So now you can give it the right tone of voice. And that's really, really important in terms of both the quality of what you do, but also keeping up the momentum, because otherwise it can become quite a hard thing to do on a long-term basis. So now you've decided where it is in the customer journey, you've now got three choices. Your type of media that you're going to do. Now, remember, we've said, you know, you could put this out on social, you could put this out on a podcast or on your website, you can be part of an existing community. But the choice that you have here is in the type of media. So are you going to go down the paid, the owned, or the earned route in terms of your media choice? Okay, now you could do all three, and you know, I have seen all three done very, very successfully. But generally, especially if you're starting out in thought leadership, it's a good idea to just focus on one. Okay, so are you going to pay for this? You're going to do some ads. Are you going to just produce owned, say just, shouldn't use the word just there because this is what I'm doing. It's hugely valuable. Owned, so organic kind of content that you own, or are you looking for that advocacy thing? So you're putting stuff out there that is ultimately shareable. So you're looking to earn the advocacy. And this is all about probably based around timing and how urgently you want this thought leadership specialism thing to hit the market and gain traction. So if you've got a real urgency here, you are probably going to need to find some budget and go down the paid route. Okay, so if you've got some budget available and you think, I want to become a specialist in this area, I need to get my footprint, you know, sort of really, really sort of upped here, and I need this digital footprint to show me as a specialist, I'm going to probably have to pay for the privilege if I need it urgently. So then you're thinking about advertising, probably digitally, but also there may be some offline stuff you want to do as well. So there's one choice. If you're able to be a little bit more patient, you can go down the owned route, and that is about creating organic content, so great search engine optimized content that will eventually, and probably is eventually, if you're patient, give you some traction. Now, to me, that's a really nice thing because there is a longevity about organic content. Over the years, I've produced a lot of content off the basis of doing webinars, of doing blogs, a little bit of vlogging, and now my podcast. So I'm starting to see some real kind of traction and benefit coming from that longevity. But if you're going to go down the organic route, is please, please, please be patient. Okay, you can't do this overnight. It simply doesn't work overnight. So it might be that you think, well, I'm partially patient, but I do need to see something happening this year too. So maybe it's a mix of a little bit of advertising and some organic content. And then ultimately, if you can commit to sharing this in social networks, if you can commit to sharing this in communities, and you make it eminently shareable, then you will get the advocacy. So that's your earned content. That's where stuff that you're sharing just has such a value that people think, oh, I need to share this because it's really good. You know, and oh, it was Neil who published that. Oh, right, who's Neil? And then they'll come and check you out. And particularly if you're at the awareness stage of the thing, then they'll connect with you. So it probably, in an ultimate content strategy, is a bit of paid, a bit of patience, a bit of owned, the organic content, and then maybe a bit of earned is on your focus. But I would say if you're looking to do this properly and seriously, is devote, and it's always the 80-20 rule in terms of the outcome. So I would say devote a lot of attention to being patient and trying to do it organically, because that is going to be where, you know, the most of the long-term benefit is going to come from. But if you need a bit of a quick hit, spend some money, a little bit of budget, test what happens, and you should see something good coming out of it. Now, when you go and look up tutorials and sort of, you know, okay, fine, sort of, I listened to all that Neil said, and I kind of got a bit of a gist of kind of what, how to do this and what to do next. And then you go and do a Google search, and you kind of look at some of the big players. So Harvard Business Review, for example, who say, hey, you know, it's super simple how you do this thought leadership thing. You can become, you know, a really good thought leader in 6 steps. So get a big online presence. Use your high quality affiliations and everybody you know, give some public speeches, you know, you've got to do some appearances on TV, you've got to get some awards out of this because, you know, you're going to become an expert in this and publish a book. I'm hoping that they're being quite flippant in the way that they approach this, because this is really hilarious. If you go out and you start to try and become a thought leader or a specialist in this topic, you are not going to be appearing on TV on day one. You're not going to win any awards from the get-go. If you've got time to publish a book, then great. But publishing a book takes a long, long time. I'm hoping that this is a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but actually, if we look at these steps and actually take a little bit of a backward step and say, well, is there anything in this of value? Because, all right, yeah, it'd be lovely to give lots of public speeches, but who's going to want to listen to me? I'm not actually yet a specialist. I'm just starting out. But that could be an ultimate goal. And if we kind of dumb down some of these things, it is about an online presence. You've got to put this stuff out there. You can't lead on a thought if you're not leading by actually publishing something. So you've got to think about what channels work best for you. So are you a writer? Are you a speaker? Are you a presenter? Because that'll make the decision really for you as to kind of where you're going to focus your initial energy. Do you need a podcast for this? You're going to do a written blog, or are you going to vlog this through webinars? And I would suggest focusing on one area, the one that feels right to you, because remember the Ikigai approach here. What do you love? So where's your preference in terms of the delivery channel? Flaunt your high quality affiliations, and that makes the assumption that you've got some A-list celebrities who are going to share your words, that you've got a load of big influencers behind you. You know, most of us haven't, but we do have connections, probably in LinkedIn, maybe on Twitter and elsewhere. So who might be able to help you? And as a thought leader, could you interview those people? If you already are connected to people who are a bit of a specialist on this topic, could you ask them some questions, record it, and then publish it? Because that's what thought leaders do. So it's a bit tongue in cheek, but actually there is some serious value behind that idea. Give public speeches. Well, and again, the appear on TV. Well, if you're kind of running for cover at the very thought of those things, maybe you do it yourself. You know, we are, as thought leaders, all publishing companies ourselves. You know, you don't have to appear on mainstream TV to be on TV. You can very easily and quickly build your own TV channel. By the way, it's called YouTube. A YouTube channel is a TV channel. So if you don't think that you're yet ready or willing or able to be on anybody else's platform, create your own. This is what thought leadership is about. And don't worry that only three people, or even less than that, watched your first publication or watched your first broadcast. The point is, you led on a thought, and you've now created the energy and the momentum to build this thing over time. So the fact that you spend maybe even the first year not getting much traction does not matter. You know, one of the biggest, noisiest people in social media, and you probably have come across him, is Gary Vaynerchuk. And Gary V basically says he spent the first 15 years in business talking to himself because nobody was listening. Nobody knew he was there. And now look where he is. So it is about patience, and it is about doing your own thing on your own networks if you need to. So, you know, be a little bit humble, be a little bit kind of, you know, realistic. You know, things might happen overnight, and you might get some awards, and you might be asked to, you know, do the next big book deal. But even if that doesn't happen, it really doesn't matter. Thought leadership and micro influence can be hugely significant for everybody who encounters it, as well as yourself. So how do we kind of position ourselves then as a thought leader? So we're out there now. We've published a little bit of content. We know where it is in the journey. We've got this pinpoint laser focus on this one topic. We're not an expert. We're a specialist. And we're having a bit of fun asking people about stuff, recording a little bit of this, a little bit of that, doing a bit of research. And we're building a little bit of a pot of content, really. So how do we do it? Well, it is all about sharing. Okay, so celebrate the sharing of information. You know, be positive in terms of the way that you position this. You know, create content that is more about, you know, the thought leadership than just what you do. Okay, so this is a much broader piece. It's a much broader topic than the product or service. And often, for a lot of us, actually, it can overshadow the actual service that we deliver. So don't lose sight of actually what you're trying to sell at the end of the day. But make sure that you give enough time and energy to the thought leadership that you're looking to do. And of course, once you start getting a little bit of traction, you will get questions, and you'll know when you're a specialist and when you're a thought leader, when somebody asks you for an opinion. And it could be they invite you onto something. It could be that you are invited onto somebody's podcast or to give a quote, as I said earlier. You know you're a thought leader once that happens. But it also happens when somebody just says, oh, well, can I just ask you about that in a social media post? Instantly, then you're a thought leader. Somebody has looked to you for advice and guidance. And in effect, what you're doing is you're creating some kind of sort of innovation hub around this topic. So why not? And if somebody asks you a question and you answer it, well, there's a new piece of content that you can then maybe build up. So this thing over time, as you position yourself as a thought leader, gains momentum and momentum and momentum. It really is the snowball effect as you go through doing this. So decide where you're going to point all this stuff back to. Where is the hub of your thought leadership? Is it your website? Is it your LinkedIn profile? Is it a podcast? Having a single point of focus is going to make your life a lot easier, and particularly because we're positioning this now in a particular point in the customer journey. And of course, by doing that, it gives people then a very simple next step, because the call to action, having engaged with you through that single point, that single hub, is going to be very clear. And it could be talk to me, it could be send me an email, it could be complete this form, move to the next step in the journey and do something, some kind of action. So you'll see a commercial value from doing this, because people are now seamlessly being brought in through your thought leadership into some kind of relationship or some kind of interaction that you've already pre-planned. And you can do this in other communities. And I would always say, if setting up your own website or starting your own podcast is a step too far right now, I'd say think about your own LinkedIn communities. Can you join an existing one and maybe even form your own? And you know, see if you can get to do some guest posts on other people's blogs, or if you have the confidence, become an interviewee on somebody else's podcast. This is about sharing the good information that you have available to you. And of course, because we've said you're not necessarily creating anything from scratch, this is adding value, high quality critiquing of existing information, and people love that. This is what we call peer-reviewed content. And there's a huge value for doing that. It's quick, it's simple, and it's really high value. So there's lots of ways that you can actually do this to really, really kind of build a profile in a very simple and straightforward way. So for me, that's kind of how I was actually doing this kind of sort of way back, you know, when I sort of started this out. And lots of other bigger, far bigger than me, organizations and people are doing it this way. There's a really interesting, once you get into LinkedIn, you'll find that thought leadership is a real thing in LinkedIn. And you just got to go to business.linkedin.com and you'll find a whole range of different examples. So I'm just going to share a few here, just as little examples to kind of round this presentation off. Deloitte do some really, really smart stuff, delivering tech trends in a really neat kind of way. And that's their thought leadership. Obviously, Deloitte as a consultancy talk about a whole range of different topics, but they deliver tech trends as their thought leadership. So they add value over the research that they do and deliver it in a really sort of clear, very consumable way. So that's a nice approach that they take. We know that people buy from people, people engage with people. Philips, for example, in their thought leadership, do behind the scenes live videos with people for people. And it is all about the people-centric element of tech and innovation. So again, just taking a slightly different spin that's away from product and much more about how people behave and operate and interact with tech. Another organization, Oricon, engineering organization, reimagine engineering with a human touch. And again, so it's all about looking at the human aspect, the human element, the behavioral element of tech and of engineering. So are there things that you could do to sort of extend out way beyond, maybe in a slightly innovative way, way beyond the marketplace, but still play back to the relevance of the marketplace that you exist in? Because, you know, they're clearly seeing some really great benefit from doing this. And for those of you who are sort of familiar with Hays, big sort of people, HR and talent development brand and recruitment consultants, if you've ever used them or been part of the Hays machine, it's a very efficient, very effective machine, but they do a modern twist on the familiar kind of magazine format by doing a journal. The Hays Journal is an online journal that you can subscribe to, and it's all about career development, salary advice and guidance. So again, a slightly different thought leadership spin, which is very much based around research and repurposing information that they find in their travels. So there's a whole different range and ways of finding, good practice. So again, Google search on it, but go to business.linkedin.com for loads more really, really good examples. So you're not alone in doing this if you decide to take this approach. It's a really effective way of kind of building your business, building your profile, and becoming, really effective and really putting to test some of those skills that we've been talking about in the previous sessions. Things like presentation, things like persuading and negotiating can all come into play here as you talk to others, as you negotiate with others, a publishing deal, or as you talk to others about appearing on their podcast or on their webinar channel. So all of these things come together, and thought leadership is just one of those lovely things that helps you to identify, kind of what you love, but also what the world would like to hear from you, both you as an individual and also then clearly you as a business brand. And in the upcoming webinars, what we'll do is we'll extend that even further, taking this thought leadership and this specialism, if you like, out into the big wide world in terms of networking and in terms of using it as part of a professional kind of marketing position for who you are and what you do. So some really interesting and exciting stuff coming up in terms of how we do that. But if this has kind of piqued your interest, if you think, oh yeah, actually I really do want to be seen as a specialist in a particular topic, or I've already started doing it, but I just want to really kind of supercharge it and really get a focus on it, then it would be really good to maybe take the next few steps prior to that next webinar when we talk about professional networking, because then you'll be able to bring that experience and that thinking into that webinar again to really, really add some value to where you're going to take this going forward. And as I hand over to Lauren to open up the chat and any sort of questions that you might have at the end of this webinar, just want to, as I always do, just give you a little bit of a sight of the places where you can kind of go next. If you want to re-listen to any of these previous webinar series, you can come on to my podcast, the Neil Wilkins podcast. You can find that on your favorite podcast channel or podcast platform. And just search Neil Wilkins podcast and you'll find it, as well as the Cambridge Marketing podcast, which publishes a whole host of topics around this subject and many, many others. So it'd be great to connect with you as well. You'll find me on LinkedIn and Twitter and other social networks at Neil Wilkins X. If we aren't connected, and this is the first webinar in the series that you've attended, I always invite you to connect with me afterwards, because I've got a whole bunch of different content like this, which I'm sharing sort of quite consistently, obviously as part of the thought leadership piece. And I do filter into that other things that I find in my travels that you may also find of interest, and obviously things like the Ikigai process, which I think for a lot of people right here right now is really helpful to kind of cut through a lot of the chaos that people are finding in this challenging world that we exist in right here right now. So at that point, I'm going to finish presenting. I'm going to just hand over to Lauren to see if we have any questions from any of you on the topic of thought leadership.
Brilliant. Thank you, Neil. We've got a few questions in already. So I'll start with the first one, which is from Jackie, who asks, is thought leadership something you can adopt to influence the strategic direction of your company, i.e. influencing the leadership team?
That's a lovely question, and the answer is categorically yes. I've seen quite a few examples, particularly in business to business, and I think that's where really it's going to take sort of less effort, I think, you could say. I mean, you will see it in business to consumer, but I think in business to business, there's just something really nice in that whole kind of innovation and differentiation piece, because a lot of B2B organizations find themselves, when they look honestly at themselves, they find themselves as being very similar to the competition, and they often struggle with differentiating, and they're often developing me too products along with the competition, and the world just looks at them and sees them maybe slightly different to the competition, but often not that different. Thought leadership allows you to really position yourself away from the rest of the market in a good sense. So I think this can be used as a very, very interesting kind of management meeting conversation, maybe using the Ikigai process, which again can be used again within meetings as a really interesting sort of facilitated process to kind of get out onto the table the answers to some of those questions. Okay, what as a business do we love? What do we actually love doing as a management team and as a group? What do we see that we're actually quite good at? Do we have any core competencies that we could build from? And those competencies be things that, you know, we're better than the competition at. Maybe we can start to integrate those into a thought leadership thing. What does the world need? And actually, ultimately, but this is the one where I tread carefully. Ultimately, could we be rewarded for it? I think if you use it as a tool to generate new business, it doesn't feel as authentic as if you do it for its own purpose and its own sake. So I'd say if you're using this as a management team discussion, is try and draw people away from getting too obsessed on that. Can we be rewarded for it? Because if they see it as an instant commercial gain, you'll lose the essence of what it is, and then it'll just become another marketing communications piece. This has got to be something that you want to kind of build into the real fabric and the real essence of the organization. So long-winded answer, the answer is categorically yes, but I think tread carefully on that urgency of getting return from it. I think if you can be patient and just wait for the returns, they will come. But as a differentiator against the competition, 100% yes.
Thank you. The next question is from Jenny. She's asking, do you have any advice for agencies approaching thought leadership with complex setups / sectors?
Yeah, and it might be in that instance, it might be that you decide as a team, because it's unlikely, I think probably as an agency there, you're talking about being a sole trader. It sounds if you're attending to multiple sectors that there probably is multiple of you. So it could be that individuals within your team, your colleagues or whoever, maybe sponsor a particular specialism or thought leadership that's relevant to the sector they're targeting. So you might have multiple kind of sub-levels, if you like, because at the moment, what we've been talking about is that it's almost, this is at a business level. So you kind of have one specialism or one topic. But of course, if you're at the moment very targeted in what you do, you might have target personas or stakeholders in each of the sectors who are very different. And you might be doing specific targeted marketing communications to each of them, again, very differently. So the way they view you as an organization or as an agency could be quite different. And that opens up the opportunity then to do different branding and different thought leadership for each one. So if there are a number of you, you might want to each sponsor a subtly different or maybe completely different thought leadership topic that appeals to that persona in that sector. So this is ultimately almost kind of down to the level of one-to-one marketing communication and really kind of taking those backward steps and then maybe prioritizing, okay, well, let's practice with one sector first and then see if we can duplicate and replicate what we do as a process. And then maybe then we need people to sponsor because it would be too much for one person. So I think you probably then got sponsors within the agency who kind of just oversee and police how that kind of thought leadership is working in each individual sector. To me, that would work really well. But the general advice there would be is pick one to start with, get it right, you know, make all the mistakes in one, and then roll it out sort of more broadly, but in a really targeted way after that.
Thank you. The final question is from Georgina. And she says, my organisation has been dipping our toes into thought leadership with some long form content and commentary pieces for industry leading news websites. What are your thoughts on this as a first step? Would a blog on our website be better?
I think if you've already started, I'd say yes, evolve from what you've already started doing. And I think one of the key sort of things with this. It sounds, I'm just kind of reading between the lines, and obviously I haven't seen, you know, your specific blog and your specific website, so I'm kind of making a judgment here, but from the sounds of the question is that it's becoming quite hard work, and a lot of this can be quite resource heavy. Once you start to see some value, you start thinking, oh, we should be doing a bit more of this. It's a great thing, but also it comes at a price. And if you're finding it's quite hard to do, I think one of the things that you could be doing is focusing, and again, I know Hays do this because I know a little bit of the behind the scenes with Hays and how they produce this stuff. And so that Hays example I gave you, I know they do a lot of repurposing of the content. So they'll have a main kind of research piece, if you like. They will create a white paper from that, and then from that, they'll be repurposing and duplicating a lot of content to then put into social. So they're making multiple use of each piece of content. So I'd say stay with the blog because you've already started, stay with the blog, unless there's fundamental reasons why you wouldn't. Stay with that for now. See if you can you know, repurpose some of the content you've already done there. So maybe little quotes come out. Maybe you see a particular section or paragraph that you've of something you published, and you think, actually, we can build that particular paragraph up into a new piece. And so what you're doing is you're kind of letting it fuel itself. And I would say as well, sort of balanced with that, is remember that you can curate. Okay, because a lot of people can get themselves bogged down in this because they think they've got to create all the original content. You can build value on top of something somebody else has created. And you probably already know this, but I'm just doing it as a bit of a reminder. So if you see an article somewhere else, take a little snippet of that, give them a big credit on it, maybe invite that person to do another article, you know, on your blog, and you add some value, some comments, some critiquing of it, add some value on top of it. So that will probably speed up the process, but also make it feel a little bit less resource heavy. But I would say just keep it going, but evolve from where you are right now.
Thanks, Neil. Those are all the questions that we have. Thank you.
Yeah, well, good questions.
And thank you to everyone for joining us today.
And if you're willing to head over to marketingcollege.com/events, you'll see the place where you will be able to shortly register for the professional networking upcoming one. And if you bookmark that link, you'll get to be able to see all of the others as we release the registration details too. So yes, I'll just echo Lauren. Thank you very much for coming along. Hope you found it useful. Good luck leading on thought.